it's over to the news desk with Lena Valverde and Charles McKelvey. But first, we'll take a look at today's headlines.
Cuban president meets with St. Petersburg authorities.
Alberto and Cristina win in Argentina, defeating Macri in first round.
U.S. Congresswoman criticizes new flight restrictions to Cuba.
And Cubans pay tribute to revolution hero Camilo Cienfuegos.
Now for the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel met Monday with the governor of St. Petersburg, Alexander Beglov, and the leader of the Legislative Assembly of that Russian region, Vyacheslav Makarov. During the encounter, the parties ratified their willingness to reinforce the relations between Cuba and Russia. The president will visit the Fabergé Museum, which exhibits the world's most extensive collection of works by Carl Fabergé, including nine of the most famous imperial Easter eggs, regarded not only as the most beautiful jeweled works of art, but also as unique historical artifacts. The day before, Díaz-Canel visited Piskarevskov Memorial Cemetery, where rest the remains of more than 50,000 soldiers and 400,000 civilians who died during the Nazi siege of Leningrad. In the visitor's book, Díaz-Canel praised the people's spirit of resistance in the Great Patriotic War. The Cuban president also visited the Aurora battleship. The cannon shots of the Aurora were decisive in the surrender of the Tsar and the seizure of the Winter Palace in 1917. The Cuban delegation also visited Sunday the Hermitage Museum, St. Petersburg's leading art museum and one of the largest in the world. The Cuban president began a working visit to the Eurasian nation on Sunday after making official visits to Ireland and Belarus, as well as participating in the 18th summit of the Non-Aligned Movement held in Baku, Azerbaijan.
With almost 90% of votes counted, Argentinian opposition progressive candidates Alberto Fernández and Cristina Fernández de Kirchner have won over right-wing incumbent President Mauricio Macri in Sunday's general elections, as the candidates needed 45% of the vote or 40% with a 10-point lead over the runner-up to avoid a second round, the 47.82% obtained by the Fernández-Fernández ticket has been enough to give them the win in the first round. On Sunday evening, President Mauricio Macri delivered a concession speech acknowledging that he had lost the electoral race. He will leave office on December 10th, when the newly elected leaders will be sworn in. The ballot was effectively a referendum between Macri's austerity and the social contract of the left-leaning opposition, who have attracted voters who have been hurt badly by Macri's neoliberal model that led to the most severe economic crisis in decades.
U.S. Congresswoman Barbara Lee has condemned the Trump administration's decision to ban flights by U.S. airlines to all Cuban destinations except Havana in the near future. The Democratic legislature for California tweeted that these isolationist and backward policies will hurt Cubans and Americans alike. The congressional representative concluded her message on Twitter using the tag Unblock Cuba, often used on social media by people inside and outside the Caribbean nation to demand an end to the economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed by Washington nearly 60 years ago. This Friday, the U.S. Departments of State and Transportation announced the suspension until further notice, starting next December 10th, of scheduled air service between the United States and all international Cuban airports, with the sole exception of the José Martí International Airport in the Cuban capital. The decision, which joins the list of aggressive restrictions adopted by the U.S. government to undo the bilateral rapprochement initiated under the government of Barack Obama, will prevent airlines such as American Airlines and JetBlue from traveling to Santa Clara, Camagüey, Holguín, and Santiago de Cuba, among other destinations.
Cubans are paying tribute this Monday to the legendary commander of the rebel army, Camilo Cienfuegos, known on the Caribbean island as the hero of Yahuahay. Camilo lost his life on October 28, 1959, when the plane in which he was traveling fell into the water. He was 27. His remains were never found. Hence, there is a tradition of the Cuban people to bring flowers to the sea and rivers to honor him. A young man with cheerful and jovial personality, Camilo joined the expedition of the Grand Machete that departed from Tuxpan, Mexico on November 25, 1956, with 82 combatants on board to launch the Revolutionary War here in Cuba. Once the War of Liberation began, Camilo stood out as one of the most important soldiers of the rebel army, reaching the rank of commandante. Between mid-August and the first half of October 1958, he headed an invading column that moved from the Sierra Maestra to the central part of Cuba, where he led successful actions. One of the most famous was in the town of Yahuahay in central Cuba, and after that great victory, many began to call him the hero of Yahuahay. After the triumph of the Cuban Revolution on January 1, 1959, and until October 28th of that same year, the date of his lamentable disappearance, Camilo Cienfuegos was one of its most prestigious leaders. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel recalled on Twitter that Camilo Cienfuegos, as Fidel Castro said, was the most brilliant of all the guerrillas, and reaffirmed that he is always present in the revolution and in the people. Today, Cuba honors him, and our sea is covered with flowers for Camilo, Díaz-Canel wrote on Twitter.
And you tuned into Radio Vancouver's English language broadcast. Back now to the news desk with Lena Valverde and Charles McKelvey.
Cuba has acquired a large and modern floating dock for ship repairs with an investment of $34 million, local news media reported. The dock arrived at the port of Havana on Saturday, transported by a Chinese semi-submersible vessel on a 52-day cruise through the Indian and Atlantic Oceans and the Caribbean Sea. The new structure is the result of a project executed in 18 months by the China National Machinery Import and Export Corporation in Shanghai. 85% of the $34 million invested for the construction is financed by a preferential loan granted by the Chinese government to the Cuban Ministry of Finance and Prices, which will be paid in 15 years, according to Cuban television. The dock will admit ships of up to 65,000 tons of displacement of the Panamax type, and its acquisition is considered a quantitative and qualitative jump for the island, which has not had since 2012 the capabilities to repair Panamax ships. Specialists from the Cuban Ministry of Transportation explained that the new naval equipment, certified by its Chinese manufacturers for a period of use of at least 30 years, has a new state-of-the-art system with tactile monitors. Cuba and China maintain close political and economic relations, in which the Asian country is Cuba's second trading partner, with a commercial exchange that reached about $2 billion in 2018, with a particularly important presence in the development of its telecommunications. Supplies from the Asian country cover a wide range of products present in practically all the sectors of the economic and social life of the island, such as health, education, electronics, transportation, information technology, and food.
Uruguay's electoral body highlighted Sunday the high participation of the population as part of the general elections held in the South American country, with around 73% of people exercising the right to vote. According to the polls, the leftist broad front candidate Daniel Martinez garnered 46.6% of the votes, while his contender Luis Lacalle Pou had 29.6%. There will be a runoff election since an absolute majority of over 50% was not reached. At least 2.7 million Uruguayans were summoned to vote this Sunday to elect the president, vice president, senators and deputies to parliament, who will exercise their mandate during the period from 2020 to 2025. Voting in Uruguay is mandatory. Those who did not vote on Sunday will face penalties.
And once again, our headlines for today.
Cuban president meets with St. Petersburg authorities.
Alberto and Cristina win in Argentina, defeating Macri in first round.
U.S. Congresswoman criticizes new flight restrictions to Cuba.
And Cubans pay tribute to revolution hero Camilo Cienfuegos.